Hello there, Peterman here. And this is Out and About with Elaine. Nice to know that she's gainfully employed.
Everyone, and we do hope that you will call. I am Elaine LaRoche, and this is Out and About with Elaine. Our number here is 508-222-1320. So we've had a very, very, very busy week, and we have a lot of different things going on. And being the whimsical one for me, I woke up this morning, and it was lightly raining, and Jim Corbin will be calling in at 7:35 today. So we have to find out what the weather forecast is going to be. I mean, it was down in the 40s, and it was very, very nice to open up the windows and sleep weather. That's what I call it. Fall is really great because you can open up the windows, and oh, it's just so nice. And that muggy, hot, you know, air that you can wear, I should say, is gone, which is awesome. So listen to this. I was opening up the Sun Chronicle today, and there's a cartoon character, and how would you like it if you got this really great job that paid maybe about 200 grand a year, and you have access to an airplane, right? So get this, Tom Price, right? He is accused of blowing over $1 million in private jet use. And he was taking private jets everywhere, all around the country, wasting money. So there was such a backlash to this that the president had to ask him to resign. So he said, Tom Price said, well, look, I'll reimburse $50,000. I'll write a check right now for $50,000 to the taxpayers if I can keep the job. And unfortunately, or fortunately for us, he's gone. So it kind of seems like everybody that the president has elected into these cabinet positions have been gone. And Mike, if you want to chime in, please. So Mike is on the board today and helping me keep on track. And imagine that. What would your boss do if you overspent money like $1 million in private jets?
Let's not go there.
But, I mean, the nerve of the person who thinks that he can get away with it blows my mind.
Yeah. No, I know. It's been a lot lately with almost every cabinet member has been, what, replaced two or three times now.
Oh, man. Well, I mean, you're hiring millionaires and billionaires, so they're used to that lifestyle, I guess. I don't know. The lifestyle of the rich and famous.
See, this is why we need people like us to be in there, because we know what it's like to, you know, be frugal, and we would be conscientious of using the funds correctly.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. It's crazy. But I just seen this cartoon with American Express, and Tom Price is right there, and it just says, for blowing $1 million on a private jet, it's only fair that I reimburse the taxpayers $50,000.
Well, I know how we could do that. Give us all free health care.
Yeah.
That would solve the health care problem.
Exactly. Oh, my God. Wouldn't that be something? Oh, my gosh. I do have to tell you folks about something. Just be aware, the city police is warning residents to lock their cars and immediately report suspicious activity because there's been a rash of motor vehicle break-ins. And the police are saying the thieves have entered unlocked cars in neighborhoods around Reed Street, Knight Avenue, Woodland Avenue, Highland Avenue, Oak Hill Avenue. And it says primarily they're most active during the overnight hours between 1 a.m. and 5 a.m. So just be aware that never leave valuables in your car, especially in plain view. You know, like lock up your GPSs and easy passes and things like that. But there's been a lot of break-ins to cars and everything. And I have to say my daughter-in-law did not lock her car, and she... her car was rifled through a couple of weeks ago. And I said, well, did you report it? And she said, no. And I said, well, you should, because, as you know, we'll have Anthony Stevens on in a couple of weeks. He's going to be on our show in October, and we'll be talking about the crime statistics in our area. So, but people are getting desperate, and you know, we all keep change, you know, in the cup holders. I know I do too. So, just be aware that there's people there that want to break into your car and get whatever that you have. So, I on a lighter note, the Attleboro police are going to they're going to hold this really cool thing. I've never seen this coffee with a cop event, and what that is. Do you want to share a cup of coffee with a cop on the beat in your neighborhood? So City Policing is extending an invitation to two Coffee with a Cop events at 9 a.m. on Wednesday, October 4th. I did say October. Can you believe it? It's October already. Oh, my God.
Tomorrow it is.
Mm-hmm. Today's the last day of September. Kind of feels like the last day of summer, even though I know that it isn't, but... It's
actually
weird.
No, this last day of summer was like September, I think, 21st or 23rd. Official last day of summer. Maybe
right.
Jim Corbin can straighten us out.
Yes, I think it's the 21st.
But we're out of summer.
Yeah, because December 21st is the first day of winter. Yeah, we got to think about that, too. Oh, my God.
Although the last 2 days didn't feel like it.
No, that's for sure. Oh, my God. But anyway, Coffee with a Cop. They'll buy you a cup of coffee at Honeydew Donuts on Washington Street on Route 1 in South Attleboro. And also the Dunkin' Donuts on South Main in Crossroads Plaza. And, they just want a chance to talk to you. They want to listen to your concerns. And they also want you to get to know the officers in your neighborhood. And this is a really good community outreach that they do every once in a while. And I think it's really important to do that. You can bring your concerns to them. And certainly, I have to go back with Anthony Stevens. He was saying that even a little crime or a break in like a car and your car got rifled through, you don't think about calling the police and filing a report. But it does matter. Because then what happens is the police will have an extra patrol going around your neighborhood rather than not. So, but they had some problems, too, on South Main Street. And I know that because the car that was next to my son's house was broken into. And they did report it. And my son has a security system. And they found that there was a couple of kids that were breaking into the cars and everything. So. Not cool at all. No, I mean, people are desperate. People, you know, with the high incidences of opiate use and everything, people are just, it's just desperate times and desperate people, you know, and it's just really, really, it's really sad to see that happening and everything. But I do want to talk to you a little bit about, you know, like social networking and, like Mike and I are from a little bit of a, I'm from one generation and he's from another. But I remember we're going to talk about social networking and is it really making us antisocial? And I think that like back in the day, the way that I would communicate with my friends and when I would knock on their door.
I remember those days. I'm not that far behind. When you go outside and you actually play with your friends as opposed to talk to them on the internet.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. Oh, my mother had strict rules. There was a family of five of us. And let me tell you something. The weekends come, you had your chores, but then you get out of the house. There's no television watching on Saturday afternoon. You played outside till dinner time, and then you played outside till, like, the lights came on, you know, the street lights came on. And that's what you did. That's what your interaction was back then. You know, you were creative, and you played on swing sets, and you went to the playgrounds, and you used all that energy, you know, you had fun with your friends and
not to mention now it's probably so much more harder for single people to compete with the cell phone. If you know your date is going bad, then you'd see them whipping out their phone and not paying any more attention to you. That's not good.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, that's true. I mean, like little kids, like my little granddaughters are very proficient in the computer. Excuse me. They can go online and they have, like, you know, the Disney shows and everything that they watch, or they interact with, I guess it's called, what is that? Shopkins. There's a Shopkins thing. But anyway, I digress there. My point is the generations, and even my grandsons who are in their teens too, tend to be, when I go over there, I mean, I use humor to get their attention because they look down. Everybody looks down at their phones. Everybody looks down. And it's very addictive. I mean, like, I left my phone home one day. I went to work, and I was looking all over for it in my purse. And I tell you something, I couldn't go the whole day. I zoomed home on my lunch hour and got my phone. I mean, it was just like that connection. I might be missing something. And I thought about that. What am I doing? And it's all about that connection, that we do. We might miss something.
It's all about the connection. No.
Not the rainbow connection, but... I'm talking about social media. You know, the internet has a new set of rules in our society, you know, and you join social networking and hoping to connect with other people and other users, right? But it's actually drawing more and more people in for precious screen time. And it actually diminishes the time that we spend communicating face to face, as Mike and I were just talking about. I mean, social networking has obviously seen the latest, you know, increase in the past 10 years of online activity, and social network has revolutionized the way that we interact with the internet and with other users and with other people. And I just get a little concerned about that when we really should be, I say, don't look down. You know, I just feel that we should be more human touch rather than face to rather than on the computer screen. Although, you know, Skype and everything, that's really great fun. But, you know, to see a person's expression for real, you know, face-to-face communication, there is a concern. There's been some studies done and about the kids that are using this generation when they grow up. They're going to be incompetent in how to speak to each other mm-hmm. and how to communicate with each other. And, you know, the language skills of a conversation will be gone. Mm-hmm. So, because it's always instant gratification. Got to have it now. Got to do it now. You know, get up online. I mean, please, if you're listening and would like to chime in, our number here is 508-222-1320. I'm just concerned that, you know, that the children of today are going to be socially incompetent. And unfortunately, I just say, you know, you got to look up from your phones and laptops and, you know, just be aware. I mean, I've actually, Mike, have
not
you...
Not to mention, look up when you're walking.
I was just going to say, did you... I mean, I have seen a guy cross a street, step off a curb, and into traffic, and everybody stopped around him. And Kennedy Plaza, too, you know, I mean, we'll talk about that on the
flip
side.
I see that every day.
Yeah, really, I know. Well, listening, good morning. You're listening to Out and About with Elaine. My name is Elaine LaRoche. We're going to take our first break, and we'll be right back after these messages.
You going to be much longer? Bye to me tonight. There would still be left to right. What else could I do? I'm so inspired by you. That hasn't happened for the longest time.
Chef and gardener Liz Barber will present Edible Landscaping on Wednesday, October 25th at 6:30 p.m. at the Richards Memorial Library in North Attleboro. Join her for a slideshow tour through her edible gardens and learn how she has introduced vegetables, fruit trees, edible shrubs, and herbs to her garden. Registration is required for this event. If you are interested in attending, you can send an email to mholmes@salesinc.org.
Claudino's Auto Repair, located at 310 South Main Street in Attleboro, is celebrating 25 years in the auto and truck repair business. Over the years, John Claudino and his team of mechanics have worked to build a long-lasting rapport with their customers. From oil changes to diagnostics, transmissions, and routine maintenance on foreign and domestic cars and trucks, Claudino's will keep your vehicle running. Claudino's Auto Repair, 508-226-8545 or at claudinosautorepair.com.
Hamilton was adopted from a rescue in 2008. He really likes to be around people. I get out my mat and I'm doing a downward dog and he's underneath. He's quite the pug about town. He gets invited to a lot of parties. He knows he's a pretty big deal. Look at this little face. I mean, you know, I love him.
Hamilton the Pug, Instagram star, and Shelter Pet. Amazing adoption stories start in shelters. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Hello there, Peterman here, and this is Out and About with Elaine. Nice to know that she's gainfully employed.
Everyone, and welcome to Out and About with Elaine. You're listening to our show. We're talking about social media, and we want you to know that the thing of it is with the iPhones and everything, and the cell phones that you give to kids and everything, they get so engrossed with those video games, and they just don't really interact very well, with adults. And it's like I purposely go down, to take my grandsons out to dinner or lunch once in a while, and they look down and everything. And I just mention it to them. I say, you know what? You can put that away because I just need to see your eyes. And they look and they go, oh, Grammy. But it's true. I purposely do that to bring a point to the interaction that we have together in that. So anyway, Mike and I were talking during break about the dangers of not looking up and not looking where you're going. I mean, I've seen a guy bump into a pole. There was reports of a woman actually went into a fountain because and it went viral, too.
Oh, I mean,
she was
that.
So embarrassed, but she was on her cell phone and she didn't look up and she tripped and went right into the fountain. That was just really amazing. So, but you were telling me during break about that tragedy that happened at Kennedy Plaza.
I think it was a year ago.
Yeah.
There was a young girl. She worked at one of the offices in downtown, and she just gotten off the bus, and she was walking across the crosswalk. And as she was coming across the crosswalk, now she had her head down, she had headphones on, and she was looking at or interested at what was on her phone. And meanwhile, this other bus comes flying around the corner. She's in the crosswalk, though. But by the time she looked up, she made a really blood-curdling type scream. And, well, the rest is, unfortunately, she's no longer with us.
And
it was just a very bad, sad tragedy. So that's another aspect of it is that, it's funny too. Rhode Island, I think, just passed a law in the state. I don't know when it goes into effect. I thought it's already been in effect, but I guess it starts next year where they, if you're driving while you're on your cell phone or texting, the police have the right to pull you over. And I believe it's an $85 fine for the offense. And I look in the, when I ride the bus in the morning, obviously I'm not driving. So I look out the window and I'm looking at the things that people are doing in their cars. People on the phone, texting, shaving, eating. I really think half the people, that are driving need to go back to school again to learn how to drive. That's just how I feel. Because it's like you're not only putting yourself at risk, but you're also putting the people around you at risk. So that's why people say, well, why are they making these laws for? Because if there wasn't a law, you would still do it.
Mm-hmm. No, that's true. And I mean, have you ever been on the highway driving and all of a sudden, like the person in front of you kind of like drifts?
Yep.
And or you're passing somebody and they kind of like drift into your lane. I almost got hit like three times this week. And it was like people are on their cell phone. They have the phone. And then when they merge onto the highway, if their phone is in their left hand, they can't see traffic like right in the lane.
Yeah.
And I can't tell you how many times I've slammed on my brakes to let this person go in front of me. And I do without, beeping or anything. But it's just like, oh, my God, people need to pay attention. Pay attention.
There are some cars that have phones built into the dashboard that you can actually dial up on through the steering wheel.
Right. I mean, I have Bluetooth technology, so when I make a call, Siri dials a number for me, and yep. I just put my phone by my side, and I can talk through the speaker.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I look at it this way. If it's not that important, or if it is important, pull over, or, don't even answer the phone until you get to your destination and then call the person back. Is it that important? You got to talk to them right then and there. I mean, it's just not worth the danger, I think. Mm-hmm. You know?
Right. I upped my cell phone.
Yeah, I see it's like as big as my two of our hands put together.
No. It's the 6.
Was that the iPhone 6?
Plus.
6 Plus. How many of them do they have?
I don't.
It's like every time
I think it's a
6,
around. 6S, and 6 Plus. And and now it's up to like, what, 10? And you can order the newest one for $1,000.
Who has $1,000 like they don't have any? Oh, I know. The guy that rides the airplanes for free.
Not anymore. Tom Price is gone. He'll be filing for unemployment benefits.
He'll get back down to reality real soon.
Yeah, no. Those people don't have any sense of reality. They run in different circles, my friend. Absolutely. Yeah. But what I wanted to tell you is, like, when I did have to go to the Apple store at Providence Place Mall because it kept freezing and different things. And I reached out to Bruce Galber because he works there. He's a very famous worldwide magician, as you all know. And
he put a magical trick on your phone, and it's working now.
No, but he told me that it's either going to be reset to factory standards or...
thrown away.
Software update. And I said, well, I'm afraid to do a software update on this phone because then it will change everything or whatever. And he said, no, it'll actually improve performance. And he was right. So I did. I plugged it in, and you have to make sure that you're connected to Wi-Fi. And it took about maybe a half hour, and then all these things started coming up, like how I want to customize my phone. And one of them was, do you want to add on an app that would, when you're in the car, you just press it, and then no one can call you, no one can text you, because the message will come up and saying that you're driving.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, having 3 grown children and grandkids and everything, I have a busy life. So I just said, no, I don't want to do that app. So we'll see what happens. But I want to talk a little bit. Do we have time? Yeah. Okay. I want to talk about the goodness in people. I want to switch gears here for a minute. And Warby Parker is a new eyeglass company. It's run by 4 guys, and their commitment to everyone should have eyeglasses. Everyone should be able to afford eyeglasses. Mm-hmm. So they created this new concept, and basically you go on their website, and you look at all the frames that you think you want to order. And basically what happens is they send you 5 frames for free shipping. And their concept is try them on. And select the one that you'd like, write it down, and then ship them back to the company. And when you order online, they are the best for communication. They tell you they receive the order. Oh, you have to take a picture of your prescription, and then you upload it, and then they make you glasses. So I'm in the process of having glasses made. Now,
what's this place called again?
It's Warby Parker.
Okay.
And they have a brick and mortar store at Prudential Center in Boston. And how I know that is last week, my sister and I, we went up and did the walk. I did 8 miles. Oh my gosh. We went everywhere from Newbury Street to the North End to Ruggles. And it was like unbelievable. But yeah, you can go to the store up there too. But their whole philosophy is if you buy glasses from them and they're reasonably priced, they start at $95 for single vision. They donate another set of glasses to someone in need, somebody who needs glasses that can't afford them.
Wow.
And that is just really amazing. It's like corporate responsibility taking over. And I think that that is one of the best companies. I thought, oh, my God, they get it. You know, they really, really get it. And I was just really surprised that this company existed. And how I found out about it is my daughter sent me an email and said, Mom, why don't you come on down and bring those glasses and we'll pick you up. We'll pick out a pair. So it's funny because I did go down and we did choose this one pair. So I'm getting my progressive lenses in probably another week. So this way In the studio, I have Mike put on, we have like, I call it the bright light. And so I can actually see what I'm doing and reading from time to time. The lighting in the studio is okay, it's sufficient, but when you have trouble reading because of, you know, your eyesight and no glasses, it's pretty hard. So when he puts the lights up, we bake here literally, and but I can see, and that's good. So anyway, yeah, Warby Parker, if you look it up, check it out. They do have an app, and they are doing phenomenal things. And also, I wanted to tell you something really out of the blue. Like, you know, you hear, like with the hurricanes in Puerto Rico, that people are donating a lot of money and supplies and different things, and they are getting bottleneck. And, I mean, we sent so many people down there. Like I was saying last week, the Rhode Island National Guard was there. Royal Caribbean sent a ship to Puerto Rico to get folks off the island. But I wanted to tell you about somebody that you would never think about stepping up. And it's Pitbull, the singer Pitbull. And he sent his private jet to Puerto Rico to get folks out that are in need, like people that are on like life support or people that are on ventilators. They need to be flown to the mainland of Florida, Georgia, and other places. But he donated his private jet, and they've been making trips for the last 2 weeks. And I just thought, wow. And he really didn't want any recognition at all. And one girl, when she was on the plane, she said, "I'm hearing Pitbull. You know, like the music is playing on the plane." And she's saying, "Wow, this is an unusual plane." And then somebody told her that it was Pitbull's plane, private plane. And I thought, wow. Now, why can't John Travolta, who is a pilot, you know, fly down there with his big planes, his big jets, and get people out of there too? But it's really tragic when you see it every single night on the news that Puerto Rico was just in dire straits. It's just really unbelievable. And also, too, it's not just them. St. Croix has been leveled, and they're still having a terrible time getting up and running, too. I mean, I think that it's going to take many years before folks start to go back down to the islands because of this terrible, these hurricanes that kept getting hit. We kept getting hit over and over. We were very, very fortunate for all the hurricanes that we've had this year. New England has been, I mean, we've had the torrential rains and maybe the winds, but we didn't certainly have that wind that was so damaging, 150 miles an hour and that. But we're going to find out from Jim Corbin on the flip side, because I want to find out about the weather. There's still one out there, the hurricane out there in the Atlantic, but it's supposed to be going out to sea. So anyway, I'd like to wish you a very good morning. You're listening to Out and About with Elaine, and we're going to take another break. And on the flip side, we'll have Jim Corbin's latest and greatest weather update. Stay tuned.
Wheaton College will present Graft, an exhibition of the works of Providence-based artist Helene Battalion from September 5th to October 21st in the Beard Gallery. Battalion, who is trained in fashion design and painting, creates a site-specific installation that explores the boundaries between garment and sculpture, between form and function, and between the beautiful and the grotesque. For more information about the exhibit, including gallery hours, you can email arts@wheatoncollege.edu.
The Benevolent and Protective Order of Elks has been part of the Attleboro area since 1906. They have always been involved in community service and charitable fundraising, giving back to our veterans, supporting our seniors, and providing youth enrichment opportunities, such as soccer and hoop shoots, fishing derbies, and dictionary projects, while also providing academic scholarships. The Elks are over 800 strong locally, and their members are their greatest asset. To learn more, you can go to AttleboroElks.org. Remember, Elks care, Elks share.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
You're bringing your daughter to her favorite pop star's concert. Do you A, wear earplugs?
Isn't this fun, Dad?
I have a soft pretzel.
B, remember the moment with matching concert t-shirts.
That's gonna be $180. or we can just take a photo.
C, show her how you used to do concerts.
We're going crowd surfing!
I can't, it's too heavy!
Oh my God! Ah.
Or D, just roll with it.
Woo! Justin! Look at us, we're over here!
Justin! OMG! He just looked, I love you, Justin! I love you!
When it comes to parenting, there are no perfect answers. But that's okay, because you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Hello there, Peterman here. And this is Out and About with Elaine. Nice to know that she's gainfully employed.
If I could save time in a bottle.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to Out and About with Elaine. Our number here is 508-222-1320. Want to make sure that you are aware that the farmers market will be going on at 9 a.m. to 1 today. And we only have a few more weeks before it ends. It comes to an end. And so since it is October tomorrow, there are a couple of things I did want to mention, and I'll mention one after Jim Corbin's report. But do you like to be scared? Factory of Terror is starting again, and it's just really, it's on at 7 to 9:30 p.m., where you can go to the Factory of Terror in Fall River for $28, oh my gosh, and and you can be scared, you know, blankless. Anyway, Confrida's Scary Acres and Confrida's in Cranston has the Haunted Hayrides in a Haunted Corn Maze. And that starts from dusk to 10 p.m., and that's only $20. And if you really want something else that's really creepy, you can go to Diamond Hill Park, the 13th World, Creatures and Monsters of All Kinds, and experience the fear with technology, they say. I think I will skip that. I don't like to be scared, and just really bad. On a lighter side, the King Richard's Fair. That's only for a few more weeks. They have the medieval fair that features, you know, the marketplace and games and rides and exotic animals. You can strolling minstrels and storytellers, acrobats, jugglers. You know, go there if you'd like to. It's $32 for adults. And it's very expensive, actually. And it's cash only, they said. It's just cash only. So if you want to do that, that's something that I was thinking about doing, going. But the more I talk to people that go there, and it's just really, it's not the people that work at King Richard's Fair, I was told. It's people that dress up and go there that think that they're part of the show that actually kind of like, not taunt you, but it's like it's just a real eerie feeling, they said. So I'm going to pass on that. And because it's going to be October, there are many Oktoberfests. The German American Culture Society of Rhode Island is going to have their Oktoberfest with German food and beer, of course, and music. You know, they've got to have that music. And it started today from 1 to 11 p.m. and Sunday from noon to 5 p.m. And it's only $8 in advance or $10 at the door. Now, that sounds like a lot of fun, Oktoberfest. I know, like, at work, we had an Oktoberfest where we had all this German beer. I think we had, like, 6 different flavors of German beer, and people had a little bit of it because it's at work to taste and vote for your favorite October beer. So Oktoberfest is happening, and I'm sure there'll be many, many, many more Oktoberfest activities for the next couple of weeks. And this is unusual. The Preservation Society, right, of Newport, it says Lost Providence. But it's going to be held, this talk is going to be at Rosecliff in Newport. So you got to go to Newport to find out about Providence. But they're going to be talking about the history of the architectural designs and the changes in Providence. And that's coming up this Thursday at 6 p.m. So without further ado, I think we have Jim Corbin on the line and talking to us about our weather forecast. Good morning, Jim. How are you today?
Oh, pretty good. Not bad.
You're talking about all these events going on and for these fall situations, and it's really good to hear all these things that are taking place now. And you talk about the maize, the corn, and everything else. It's been a good season for things like apples and corn, not so good for some other vegetables because of certain types of weather that we've had over the last few months. But I've got some overall good news. How about that?
That sounds great. Tell me something good.
Well, we got a little rain today. We've had a little bit early this morning. In fact, there's a severe thunderstorm. I won't get into the reasons why, but in the Boston area right now, Boston, near Logan Airport, and up just north of there, near Lynn and Nahant, you know, that area. And they've had flooding. And again, it's a technical reason why. I won't get into it, but it's an indication, though, that we have a very potent weather system. So even though there's actually a little sun out right now in parts of the greater Attleboro Providence area, we will have periods of rain today. So today is not the best of days for outdoor activities. Temperatures are going to stay generally in the upper 50s for highs. That's it. But the good news is once we get through this afternoon, things will start to clear out overnight, fall down. It'll be kind of chilly by morning, down near 40 tomorrow morning. But the sun will shine tomorrow, and that bodes well for anything going on tomorrow in terms of outdoor activities. We should reach the middle 60s. A definite fall situation as we start the month of October tomorrow. Now, as we go through the start of next week, it's looking good. Big high pressure is going to build in. So as much as we have to deal with off and on rain today, we have several straight days beginning tomorrow of sunshine. In fact, it looks like to me a lot of bright sunshine. Highs on Monday as we start the work week should be in the upper 60s, low 70s on Tuesday, mid to upper 70s on Wednesday, and we might even make a run back at 80 degrees on Thursday afternoon with mainly sunny skies. So really, after today, the next chance of rain of any consequence is not until probably Thursday night at the earliest. And then we'll start to dry out after that, maybe a couple of showers as we head towards later next weekend. But again, that's down the road. The tropics, you were mentioning what's going on there. There is still Maria, the same storm that devastated Puerto Rico, is still around, but it's way out at sea. And it's headed towards Iceland and Scotland and in between there. Also, Lee, the storm that never affected anyone, has still been spinning around. That's now extratropical. So for the moment, we don't have any storms. This is really the first time in just over a month since Harvey started getting active. Remember Harvey, the storm that hit Texas, Houston area. We don't have any storms in the Atlantic that are any kind of threat to anyone at the present time. Now, late next week, in the next weekend, so again, not this weekend, next weekend, there is some chance of getting something forming perhaps down in the Gulf of Mexico or perhaps near the Bahamas or in the Caribbean. And if that were to be the next named storm, that would be Nate. So again, that's still a week away, at least. So the good news, again, we have a quiet weather pattern outside of that storm that's going on near Boston right now. If you know anyone that up there, matter of fact, I just saw a one of the live cameras from one of the TV stations in Boston, really looking dark, real dark, almost like a summer thunderstorm up there. But it's just to the north of the downtown. But it's an indication that we have an upper-level feature. So we will have at least a little bit of rain off and on today.
Wow. So off and on rain, huh?
Yeah, nothing too tough. I mean, the farmer's market you just mentioned have been lucky, really, over the last few years. So, for example, as something going on in the mornings, into early afternoon on Saturdays. But we're now at the time of the year, I talked about this recently, we're at the time of year now where our rain or snow, we don't have any snow, don't worry about the forecast, but the precipitation now can happen at any time of the day or night because they're not what we call diurnally driven by warm temperatures. So as I've said to you and others before, the farmer's market is smart to start at 9 o'clock in the morning, as I wish other things would. But people tell me, well, if that's the case, then they can't sell alcohol or all. It's crazy, crazy reasons. But the point being that this is probably the first time the farmer's market may at least get rained on with chilly temperatures in a while. Wow. But even so, it's not going to be a big storm or a heavy rain or anything like that. Not a lot of really strong winds. So overall, really, we're really looking good. And you were also saying that with all the hurricanes that we've had, taking place over the last month or so, Harvey, Irma, Jose, Maria, those are the last four big ones. None of them did anything but good for here in New England. We've all gotten just beneficial rain showers from them. Now, yes, Jose did come close enough that it brought a a period of gusty winds, and of course we had those scattered power outages a week ago. But even that was nothing compared to what's been going on south of here in the islands, in Puerto Rico and Florida and Texas and Louisiana and parts of the Bahamas and St. Croix and Barbados and Antigua and the Virgin Islands, the British Virgin Islands. All these areas have been hit by tropical weather, while we have actually reaped the benefits of getting some rains that we have needed for continuing the growing season here with the corn and the tomatoes and things like that. So we have actually benefited here in New England. I talked to my brother again the other day. He finally got power back after 11 straight days.
Wow.
So, I mean that's bad enough, but, I mean, other places have not had power for weeks. And, again, it makes you realize how we really depend on electricity. Whatever you think of it, whatever you think of how it's made and coal and everything else, we need electricity to function. You were talking about earlier, you show the phones, kids especially just staring down, or young people staring down at their phones. Those need electricity. They need to be charged. And so think about that. Sometimes the only ways to get any charge when you're in a situation is using your car battery.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
Sometimes the last vestiges, and I'll end on this, Elaine. I'll end early this time.
Okay.
Just because after today, it's just a beautiful stretch of weather. Oh, and by the way, the full harvest moon is this Thursday.
Oh, so, great.
And that's October 5th. And then 1 month from that is setting the clocks back 1 hour.
Oh,
so we're
God,
actually
that's right.
five weeks away setting the clocks back. Now, to some people, that's good because it means it's a little brighter in the morning again. But what was I going to say? Oh, just about the fact that we have all these situations where we've been actually benefiting here in New England. And my brother, who lost power after 11 days, and you have to realize the car or the vehicle, whatever you have, SUV, whatever, truck, sometimes is the last vestige when the power is gone. And think about it. It works in other ways. In the summertime, when you lose power, what's one place to go that you can usually go to cool off? In your car, assuming you have air conditioning in there. And people have done that on hot summer days. If something happens, a thunderstorm rolls through, you might lose power for an hour. So what they do is they go out to their car, if they have air conditioning, and sit there, and they're okay. Same thing in the wintertime when you lose power. I always say I'd rather lose power in the winter than the summer, because things can keep quicker. You can put out food in the backyard or whatever. But the point being, you can go into your car, turn on the heat, and you're going to sit in there for a little while if you lose the power in the wintertime.
That's right.
So, and again, I had people saying, we were talking about this a few weeks ago about phones, like you were just saying.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I said I was going to end on this, and here I am rambling again. But you can also, if you lose power, your last vestige with your cell phone, if you have a charger, an adapter, is to charge your cell phone using your car, which acts like a generator. As long as you keep the motor running for a little bit, you won't lose much of the battery. So the automobile is like the last vestige in power outages, and that's what my brother was doing for a while. Even he down in South Florida was saying it's damn hot, and he never complains.
Right.
But when you don't have, I told him. I remember I told you this before when he called in. I told him before you should get a generator. This was like 2 or 3 days before that hurricane hit there.
Right.
And so he didn't, and that's when he stuck it out, and he had to stick it out not just with the bad conditions around the area, but without power for 11 days in the heat and humidity.
Wow.
So that's why I'll end on this finally. Why we should not complain at all, and I'll talk to you next Saturday.
I look forward to that because we are live next Saturday. We have a very special guest about job searching strategies next week. So, yeah, have a great week.
All right, Elaine, you too.
Thanks. All right. Bye. There goes Jim Corbin. We're going to take a quick break. And then on the flip side, I think Heather Parikh is on the line, and we're going to talk to her about the farmer's market and what's going on. And I'm so thrilled that she called in. You're listening to Out and About with Elaine. I'm Elaine LaRoche. We're going to take our last break, and we'll be right back after these messages.
The Beard Gallery at Wheaton College will exhibit Drawn Threads from September 5th to October 21st. The six artists in the exhibition rely on thread as both inspiration and a drawing tool, creating works that span sculpture, installation, photography, and painting. The artists in the exhibition are Jay Carpenter, Marjorie Forte, Leslie Schomp, Jody Stevens, Antoinette Winters, and Melissa Zexter. For more information about the exhibit, including gallery hours, you can email arts@wheatoncollege.edu.
Are you looking for more opportunity? The Literacy Center is here to help. We have free year-round classes in English, computer literacy, and high school equivalency. With the help of teachers and tutors, you can prepare for your citizenship test, make a resume, get ready for college, or learn how to speak better English. Classes held during the day, evening, or on Saturdays. View our website, theliteracycenter.com, or call 508-226-3603. The Literacy Center, building a better community.
So, you know, I'm a dog, and I'm kind of new to this family, but I've noticed a trend. My humans do this thing where they go around and get all my toys and hide them in this basket, but it's always the same basket, and it's always the same place, and then they act so surprised when I find them, but I'm like, hello, that's where you put it last time. Humans are the worst at hide-and-go-seek.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Hello there, Peterman here, and this is Out and About with Elaine. Nice to know that she's gainfully employed.
Good morning, yesterday. You wake up and time has slipped away. And suddenly it's hard to find.
Oh man, I love that song. Can you see the pictures? The Polaroids coming in and out, the pictures. The time of your life, Paul Anka. Wow. Listen, we have a special guest, a fantastic lady. Heather is on the line, and we're going to be talking to her, hopefully, about Farmers Market. Good morning, Heather. Whoops. Did she drop?
Good morning.
Oh, there you are. Okay. I was going to say, I'm going deaf. I can't hear you.
I'm here.
Great. How are you? It's been a while.
I know. How have you been, Elaine? You're doing well?
It's been very busy with family and the kids, the grandkids. But now the farmer's market is today.
It is today. I wanted to give a call in and give a big shout out to Jim Corbin, of course, because he actually has the best weather forecast of anybody. He's very thorough.
I know.
And he, you know, we are a rain or shine event, and we leave it up to the vendors to decide whether or not they're going to come or not. And I had a couple of my vendors calling me this morning saying, you know, Heather, there might be lightning, because we can do anything. We can do rain, snow, hail. We can do all of that. Lightning we can't do. But Jim has now made me feel comfortable that today is going to be a great farmers market day, because we're not going to have any lightning down by us. So that'll be great.
Oh, yes. Can you tell us who's going to be there today?
Sure. Well, we have lots of prepared food today. We have the Pickled Willie's food trucks. You can come down and get an egg sandwich or a Pickled Willie or anything you'd like from them. They're phenomenal. We also have Burgundian waffles. I think you've had one of their waffles.
I did. It's so good. Oh, my God.
I know. So Shane will be there, the Burgundian. We also have Roadrunner, which is his name's Mike. He's from Rehoboth. He has a lot of Mexican food. And last week, he actually drove to New Mexico, bought bags and bags and bags of chilies and drove them back, and he roasted them at Farmer's Market last week. So cool. It looked like a big bingo machine, but it was fire roasting chili peppers. I mean, when do you get to see that in Massachusetts? Very rarely. We have Red Harvest, Lynn Porto. She will be there. She has all sorts of tea cakes and breads and jams and jellies and prepared foods, soup. She makes an unbelievable Portuguese kale soup, so you can come and pick some of that up to have tomorrow during the football game.
Mm-hmm.
We have Joe Cavello from Cavello Farm. Manny Mello will be there. Well, actually, Manny's son will be there. Manny's been feeling a little under the weather, so Terry Mello will be there in his place. We have Borealis Coffee Roasters, Freedom Food Farm. So if you have any listeners who have SNAP benefits, Freedom Food Farm actually accepts SNAP at their stand. So you can come down and swipe your card and use the benefits that you get from the state there with mm-hmm. them. So that's terrific. We also have, hold on to your hat, Confectionery Designs is back. And they made
Oh my God.
And they made a very special pumpkin donut with like maple frosting. So, I don't know. I just can't wait to get there and shove one in my face this morning. I've been thinking about it for a few days.
God. Oh my God, that's so great.
Yeah, she's so terrific. Of course, Langwater Farm will be there. All of our winter vegetables are starting to come in. So we have spaghetti squash and acorn squash and butternut squash. All of those kinds of things are starting to come in now. And of course, we have apple cider. Apples and apple cider donuts from Shamrock Hive. They also have your beef, pork, and chicken if you need any of those kinds of things. And it's going to be a great day. I'm really looking forward to it.
Oh my God.
I'm so glad that we're not going to have lightning because that stuff makes me panic.
Yes, me too. Oh my God. Now, there's a couple things I wanted to ask you. First of all, when is your apple pie contest coming up?
October 14th is the last day of market, and it culminates in our very competitive apple pie contest.
Yes.
So it's very exciting. Last year we had about 16 entries. We have a judging panel that come in and sample pieces of the pie, and we have a whole rubric that they use to based on appearance and crust and filling, and the smart people on my board of directors make up the way that they do that. I don't have anything to do with that. So it's a lot of fun. It's highly competitive, and I had a friend of mine donate a bunch of pie plates to me. You need to either utilize a disposable pie plate, which apple pie makers don't like to use disposable ones. So if you would like a pie plate to use, mm-hmm. come on down to Farmer's Market today. I'll have some extra pie plates for you if you want to grab one to use for the contest. That would be great.
Well, you know what? I did enter last year, but you just said appearance. I think I lost based on mine. It was just a traditional apple pie, you know, with my secret recipe and everything, but it just looked ordinary, not extraordinary. So I was looking at all the ones that were very creative, and I said, oh gosh, I don't have a chance in heck to win anything. But it's fun, and I plan on entering again. This time, I definitely will decorate it a little bit better.
The way I like very basic foods, and typically, like, the things that look the plainest taste the best, because you focus more on the ingredients as opposed to pretty it is.
Right.
That's how I feel about that.
Thank you.
And I have to say, I try the pies too, and I don't necessarily always agree with the winner. So there's that. So I base purely on emotion.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, I do it on taste. I like the taste of a good one with ice cream, you know, especially if they're warm right out of the oven. Oh my God, it's really, really great. So
my dad always eats his pie either with a chunk of cream cheese or a piece of cheddar cheese.
Really?
Yeah.
I haven't tried that.
Yeah, that's an old school. That's from my great-grandfather. That's how he really liked it. So it's just a little family tradition. He also puts American cheese in his peanut butter and jellies. Whatever, Dad.
Well, it's kind of like a good soup day and a good grilled cheese sandwich kind of a day.
So if you need your tomatoes to make a good grilled cheese and tomato, we still have those coming in. They were a little late coming in this year, but we still have plenty of corn and tomatoes down there. And if I can, just next week is my absolute favorite day of the year. Attleboro Farmers Market works in conjunction with a farmer in Seekonk, and we buy, almost 200 pumpkins, and we donate those to the Hebron Food Pantry.
Right.
And a friend of mine, a farmer over in Rehoboth from Full Draw Farm, he grows corn stalks, and he's donating about 75 corn stalks to farmers market. So you can come to market, you can get a pumpkin and a corn stalk for $10.
Mm-hmm.
And all of that money goes to the Hebron Food Pantry. And for every dollar you donate, they can buy up to $20 worth of food at the Greater Boston Food Bank. Last year, they made almost $1,500. So multiply that times 20.
That's
so they
great.
Were able to go and buy turkeys and chickens and really fill up. They have a new freezer over at the Hebron Food Pantry, so they were able to fill up their freezer for the winter months and, you know, be able to give people turkeys and hams and things like that for the holidays. So this is Farmers Market's big give back.
Right.
So it's my favorite day of the year. I will say, though, people wait for it. Mm-hmm. We have the most beautiful pumpkins. So if you want them, be there at 9:00.
Okay. I will. And actually, this week I can't go, but next week I want to go, because last year I bought the pumpkins and I brought them over to my grandchildren's house and we decorated them. Well, I should say they tried to paint them, but it's all good. But listen, call me back next week if you're around, out and about, And we can talk more about what's going on as it gets closer to the end. I'd really like to publicize the fact that the farmers market is up and running today from 9 a.m. to 1.
Thank you. And just so you know, we were voted the number one farmers market in the state, and we came in 11th in the country.
Wow, that's really, really phenomenal. Thanks so much for calling in. I got to cut you there because we've only got 2 minutes, I know.
Have a good day.
Hey, thank you, Heather, for calling in. Take good care. All right, there goes Heather. And oh my God, farmers market again today, 9 a.m. to 1. So I did want to mention a couple more things before we close out the show. The Flame of Hope water fire is tonight. And this is a very special one for sponsored by the Gloria Gemma Breast Cancer Foundation. And it's going to be from dusk to 11 p.m. They're expecting a lot of people with this special one. And if you go down, you'll see the State House lit up in pink with also inspiring messages of hope. So in closing, I'd like to thank you all for listening to Out and About with Elaine. We'll be back next Saturday. Dominic will be back on Mondays from 6 a.m. to 9, followed by Paul Healy, 9 to noon. Our show is going to be on from 7 a.m. to 8, followed by Dave Kane and Donna Sprague from 9 to noon. So from all of us here at WARA 1320, thanks for listening to us, and meet me back here next Saturday to find out what's going on in our community. Sunshine in my pocket, got that good soul in my feet. I feel that hot blood in my body when it drops. Ooh.